And you're listening to Stage as Well. The Almighty Sometimes is opened at Griffin Theatre, and we have on the line the writer Kendall Fever to have a chat about the production. Welcome to Stages, Kendall.
Hi there, thank you for having me.
Hi, so this, The Almighty Sometimes, won a Judge's Award at the Bruntwood Prize. You're from Australia, but you've been overseas. So tell us a little bit about the production.
So the play's about a young woman called Anna, who has been medicated for a range of mood and behavioural disorders for most of her life. And then she hits the age of 18 and she decides that she'd like to come off the medication and also do away with the label that has so far defined her. And it's also about the other people in her world, her mother, her psychiatrist, and her boyfriend, Oliver, who's very new on the scene and a little bewildered by the whole thing.
Is it, do you think there's a tendency to over-medicate and to over-analyze behavioral issues? Like, where did the idea for this come about for you?
I was trying to write a very different play about, I was really interested in bipolar and how I was looking at what had already been written about the subject and seeing if there was anything new that I could contribute. Realised it was getting a little bit tropish at this point. Mm. And then I started finding these self-help books for parents with really problematic titles like Finding Bipolar in Your Children and Does Your Child Have a Mental Illness? And I had no idea that that was even a cultural line that was emerging. And the symptoms that they were describing were so, so broad. Things like high creativity or
isn't that what you want? Is there something wrong with that?
Another troubling one was a lot of movement in utero.
Wow.
And I just thought that that was astonishing, that the diagnostic thresholds were potentially becoming a little bit too broad now. And that was just the starting point. And then I spent a couple of years researching, talking to a lot of young people, a lot of psychiatrists, psychologists, support workers, also a lot of critics. It was really interesting to get a perspective on it from multiple sides and angles. And the issue is just it's so much more complicated than I originally thought. It's so fraught. And in the middle of it, a lot of young people are growing up. And I just I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that no one had written about this before. I thought it was such a generation-specific issue, a real – it's almost like a the director, Lee Lewis, has this beautiful way of describing it. She says it's a completely ordinary story of a girl and a mother navigating newfound adulthood made extraordinary by something that I think one in five Australians now experience. Goes down to one in four when you are just specifically talking about 18 to 25-year-olds.
Mm. Yeah. I wonder if there's a lot of misdiagnosis. Is that what you're sort of also heading into in this? Like, is she, when she started on or was diagnosed when she was 11 and now she's obviously 18. And so is it questioning whether what is normal?
Yeah, well, I think those are certainly the questions that Anna, the main character, has. And it's difficult for me to say as playwright because I'm not a psychiatrist myself. Sure. But what I'm more interested in as writer is the questions that these very real individuals ask in life. And one of those is that so many of the young people that I spoke to were grappling with what is me and what is my mental illness and what is me and what is my medication. And what I discovered was that this really fascinating thing happens where if you're given a label, it scrambles your sense of identity. Mm. And psychiatrists are starting to become aware of how damaging actually labels can be for young people. And so have developed this thing called narrative therapy, which is so beautiful when you think that, like, what I do is I write narratives. I thought that's an extraordinary metaphor that I've just woven into the play. But it's all about helping that young person reconstruct the narrative of their own lives to bolster their self-esteem and ensure that they can look back at the things that have made them who they are and try and stitch together a thread of their own history that is sometimes encompasses but ensures that 16, 18-year-old, 25-year-old doesn't look at themselves and go, I am an illness. So in the play, Anna writes stories and discovers little boxes of stories. A lot of that was inspired by the fact that some of these self-help books coming out were citing creativity and story writing as an actual symptom, but also because it just so beautifully connected to this idea of narrative therapy, that one of the things this fictional 18-year-old character would be trying to do is working out who she is, writing her own story. And another really wonderful thing about this this little play is that actually all people do this at 18, regardless of mental illness. So you hit 18 and you have to work out who you are. You start that process if it hasn't already begun. And it's just that when you have a label, when you have been told that you have a mental illness, that's just compounded tenfold.
Incredible. I love it. Narrative therapy, yeah. I feel like doing my own. I wonder, is there a lot of stigma around when you did all the research and you interviewed psychologists and mothers? Did you talk to mothers as well as people that experience? Yeah. Is there, do you think, still a stigma attached to mental illness in your research?
Less so now. I mean, it's a difficult question to answer, that one. I think absolutely there is stigma attached to mental illness. There will always be a degree of stigma attached to mental illness, but we've gone through such a long journey now of awareness campaigns. Destigmatization campaigns, which is one of the arguments for why there's been such a rapid increase in the number of young people diagnosed with a mental illness across the Western world. It's considered one of the contributing factors. So what I was more interested in was less, I didn't want to contribute another play that was another cultural product that was a mental health advocacy piece, because I was starting to look at a lot of these, and I thought a lot of the nuance was being taken away from the subject. And something as simple as for some of the young people and for some of the parents that I spoke to, the label was so hard fought, and they were so grateful when they received it, that a real journey of healing could begin. But for more than half of the other young people that I spoke to, the label was just the start of another really, really difficult journey of multiple side effects, multiple attempts at different kinds of medications, then combinations of medications, going on and off the medication as they rebelled, which any psychiatrist will tell you is not a good thing to do. And so I was more interested in that side of things. I was more interested in having a really honest conversation about how difficult this this process is. And it's not something with a villain at all. It's just these are worlds of very small contained worlds where every single person around that individual being given the diagnosis is just desperately trying to keep that young person alive. But it's rarely an easy process. And so I wanted to look at that rather than a straight mental health advocacy piece where the story will be a young person gets a label and then everything's completely okay. Unfortunately, it doesn't often work like that. So
we talked a lot about around the issue, but how are you telling this story? We've got Anna as the 18-year-old, and so is she confronting whether she gives up taking these medications?
Yeah, so she goes through a lot of the psychiatrists spoke to said that as their patients start hitting 16, 18, very few of them stay on their medication. It's a real battle to keep them to stay on. And so that's the starting point of the story, really, that Anna, in an attempt to do what any 18-year-old would, is trying to assert agency and autonomy, decides to come off the medication. And that's the play is the fallout from that decision. But it's not as it turns out to be far, far more complicated, without giving anything away. The issue turns out to be that decision turns out to be far more complicated, complex than just one individual coming off the medication. She starts to reveal, she starts to realize that a lot of the other things, decisions that were made about her as a child that she was not aware of, okay. as you would be when you were if you were diagnosed at 11 years old. Yeah.
The title.
Yeah.
How does this where the almighty sometimes, is it about how being big or something, being great, yeah. or being greater than we, well, I don't know. Where did
it's a, yeah, it's about a few different things. One of the really fantastic things about this title is that if you speak to any member of the cast, they have a completely different character specific answer for it, which is brilliant. Yeah. So Brenna Harding, who plays Anna, she, for her, the title is about Anna's almighty battle against how unstable any aspect of her life is, that anytime she reaches a certain place, there's a sometimes element to it. She can't stay there for very long. Sometimes things will be wonderful, sometimes things will be difficult. I wanted to get the word sometimes in there because as I was reading a lot of poetry, stories, essays, articles from the people who were writing in and around the subject, the word sometimes was used over and over again. Not intentionally by these people, but there was definitely a recurring theme. It's that idea of instability. Mm. And then, rather wonderfully, I found finding the diagnostic questionnaires, and one of them was they give them to parents, and there are questions like does your child suffer from nightmares, do they experience suicidal ideation, and the answer that you give, and you just have to circle one, is never always sometimes. Mm-hmm. Never always sometimes. So this word sometimes was just it was prolific. It just it appeared everywhere, so I had to get it in the title somewhere.
And you mentioned suicide then, and you said about keeping them alive. Is it also touching into that sort of deeper, internal battle?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, so the play itself is not about suicide. No suicide happens in the play, so I just want to reassure people of that, because I think that's one of the things that people would steer people away from buying tickets to the play. Right. So there's nothing like that on stage. I think I was more interested in the idea that when we're talking about children and adolescents with a mental illness and with a label, that those are often the high stakes that those parents and psychiatrists are working in. Mm. So that for sometimes the individual themselves, they're not operating within those stakes, they're just trying to live their life. But for the parent and the psychiatrist, in the back of their mind is always the idea that so currently in Australia, the leading cause of death in young people is suicide. And so if you as a parent or psychologist constantly have in the back of your mind the possibility, you're holding this possibility that this child might kill themselves, that's a very different way that you parent or take care of that individual. Mm. All of that is coming from a place of love, but I thought how difficult that must also be for that young person to be parented through a basically through the lens of a possibility. It's something that hasn't happened, may not happen, but you're living your life with a bunch of people very, very worried that you might that might be an eventual outcome.
Well, I tell you, we don't want to steer anyone clear of going to see it, because it's getting an amazing lot of reviews and lots of 4.5 stars from the Herald, and just such, sounds like a wonderful contemporary look at, you know, what it's like to be a teenager just generally, as well as
absolutely
parenting teenagers, etc. So, Kendall, thank you so much for joining us.
No worries. Thank you so much.
Kendall Fever there, the writer of The Almighty Sometimes at the Griffin Theatre up until the 8th of September. Get along and see it.